Chapter 9, Alchemy of True Nature. From suffering to absence to passion to purpose. He is metallic yet liquid, matter yet spirit, cold yet fiery, poison and yet healing draught, a symbol uniting all the opposites. C.G. Jung, Psychology and Alchemy. Okay, so the suggestion of a personal crucifixion is probably not that appealing. You might have begun this book looking to get rid of suffering, not to get more of it. But we are in it for the long game, which is not just the passing moments of pleasure, but the eternal moments of well-being. We are not here to surf a little wave of purpose, but to realize the majesty and unspeakable fulfillment of becoming the ocean. And along the way, in meeting the long-sectioned parts of the psyche we have learned to avoid, we will also uncover some of the living formulas of heroism and healing. Every compact parcel of pain contains within it an exponential healing gain. First, it contains within it the healing of itself. There is no such thing as an unhealable energetic wound. In the same proportion as the pain of the wounding, so must the blissful release of healing appear. For the energies of wounding and healing depend on one another. Just as the experience contracts, so must it release. Second, the wounding contains the healing formula for all pain of any nature. Third, the wounding opens and heals the past and the future. Fourth, it heals all around itself through a contagious resonance of transformative healing energy. Last but not least, it offers the beauty and power of resilience through fundamental shifts in attitude to life itself. From one point of view, where we are hurt, we are also blessed. There are blessings embedded in our woundedness. What is another difference between passion and suffering? The word suffering is used for all those impressions that we have judged as bad. The word passion is used for all those expressions we deem as dangerous. When we judge an experience as bad, we change our perception of it. Our consciousness adopts an attitude of badness. This could show up as shame, hatred, revulsion, scorn, or contempt. The resonance of this badness mixes with the felt sense, making the experience even worse. For judgment, we need two parts. It's connected with the pain of division or split. In non-duality, the suffering of the pain of separation is primary. The pain of separation persuades us that we are ultimately alone. That sense of badness is a big part of that pain. It is found in the suffering of the separate self, the energetic stuff at the border between ourselves and others, where we have been shocked or violated in our naturalness. While suffering is the impression of this pain, of separation, passion is the healing of it. Most of the time, the shock of separation happens when we are rejected. For example, perhaps there was an atmosphere of contempt between our parents. We stand between them and unwittingly become the target of their wrath. The suffering of the separate self is not the kind of pain that comes with vitality and truth. Most often it is a second-hand, inherited, senseless kind of suffering, in which we lose power, motivation, and purpose. The world appears as senseless, strange, passionless, and deranged. Our response to the bewildering pain of separation is often to thicken the energetic substance of the separate self. Promising psychological immunity, the separate self actually increases the sense of badness and sadness by adding to it the fears of violation and isolation. The world is split haphazardly into inner and outer, and we have to constantly arbitrate what is what. Just because our sensitivity has decreased, it doesn't mean we have gained well-being. Rather, we begin to define ourselves according to the baseline of disease. Separation defines us, and we are commanded to be better or more than others, or else we find ourselves feeling worse and less. It's an unfriendly struggle of preparing for tomorrow, comparing yesterdays, and repairing the damage from an unfriendly world. We complain at what we disdain, and disdain what makes us complain. All change is fearful, as change brings the stranger, and the stranger is the danger. But estranged from deeper need, and disengaged from truth, the real danger is often the stranger we suddenly find ourselves to be. The idea of the separate self promises immunity, but there is no separate self, and the promise of immunity has left us confused. Seeking relief through disconnection, we are left with the horror of disconnection within an ongoing, irrefutable connection. The relief we really needed was for more time and space for our inner world, for greater warmth, affirmation, and permission to be free. We needed to find true release as the unconditional field behind all differentiation, rather than to be objectified, oppressed, repressed, and depressed within condensed energies of aversion. Judgment makes us bad, and that badness makes us sad. The badness and the sadness that we fear and refuse to feel becomes condensed as judgmental waste matter at the energetic borders of the separate self. It divides us between inside and outside, self and other, and enslaves us to fear. We become afraid to manifest and terrified of accidentally expressing our naturalness. It gets hard to relax, even in the company of the ones that would naturally be supporting us. In this, fear is the cruel taskmaster. When it makes us run, jump, and hide, we are in the grip of fear. Following the formulas of fear, we lose our way. We even become confused in the biological pathways of pure, natural, responsive, and healthy fear. We are so busy with the fears around the separate self that we often become insensitive to actual approaching danger. Our instinctive, attuned biological fear gets hijacked by an astral fear that threatens formlessly and never gets resolved. Passion has the light and the sharpness to cut through the illusion of fear and awaken us to the endless scope of feeling sensitivity contracted within it. Passion offers the alchemy that will transmute fear to love. Sometimes, in order to find that unconditional release into the inner universe, we need to let ourselves be conquered. To find passion, we need to be brave in our vulnerability and our pain. Only then do we see that the invading army could actually be our allies. It can feel like we are going insane, as if we are disintegrating in pain, no longer holding it together, getting devoured by a predator. We have no option but to be helpless within this pain. In this, we truly allow the pain and we merge with it, becoming it. There are no longer two competing fields of experience. Instead, there is one whole which begins to expand. We become whole as the suffering and the suffering becomes part of our wholeness. We become more purely alive. Something in the energetic armor of the separate self is vanquished. Out of this emptiness, released from the purgatory of judgmental mind, out of the bottomless relief of choiceless helplessness, life begins to stir as an existential power. We find we are still here, existing as the unified field of infinite possibility, deathless, alive. Suffering again begins to awaken, but now it rises as passion with all the resources of true nature. Passion is the alchemy in the transmutation from fear to love. It is that which can bust the boundary of fear, threat, and pain between inner and outer worlds and blow up the illusions of dread. It has that momentum and that unifying power. Although it might unearth the suffering foundations of the separate self, passion is not dangerous. It will not make us unsafe. On the contrary, it empowers us. It brings an evolved, conversant, alive form of immunity, an immunity won through understanding, information exchange, and connection. Passion is like a long-lost, loving, laughing, warm, protecting father that has finally returned to the heart of family life. And to every wounded child he touches along the way, he gives the kiss of life.